Wednesday, the 21st of May, Lamed Aleph Laomer, Rabbi Yonasan Chodri, Halachic Perspectives of Ohel Arai.
Good morning, nice to be back. Thank you very much for inviting me back. It's always a pleasure to come. Now that we have Baruch Hashem some nice good weather, we look forward to some good weather in the summer, Baruch Hashem. I think some of the practical applications of the Halacha of Ohel Arai are interesting. Ohel Arai means a temporary canopy, a temporary tent, temporary structure that one will put up either indoors or outside. And it's fascinating that Chazal, in their infinite wisdom, and their insight, forbade us to do certain things in order to prevent us from being over in Issa Deraisa. Issa Deraisa would be of a permanent structure, an oil keva, any type of binyan. When one attaches something of a permanent nature, or if one intends it to be permanent, and it's a normal thing to do, even if it is a loose connection, is an Issa Deraisa. So, for example, if one is outside and there's a flower bed which has stones that mark the border of the flower bed, and one of those stones is out of place, and you put it back in place, that is probably an Issa Deraisa. And
Shabbos.
Binyan, yes, of binyan. Because that's the normal thing to do, that's how you want it, that's how it is meant to be, and that's an Issa Deraisa. And Chazal prevented us from transgressing those areas by instituting precautions. One of those precautions is the halacha of oil, a temporary oil, which means a structure that is not intended to last for more than 7 days. So it's a structure intended for a short time, is forbidden midrabbanan, oil arai it's called. And today, Be'ez Hashem, I'm going to look at the halachas of what constitutes an oil arai, and how one can make such a temporary structure and still be within the parameters of the halacha. Okay, so there are two main types of structures. One that constitutes a structure with mechitzas, with partitions, and the other is a structure which is simply just a canopy or a tent without any sort of mechitzas, without any partitions. Now, when it comes to the mechitzas, the partitions, Chazal were more makel. To set up a mechitza, for whatever reason, we'll see in a second, is much further removed from actual construction, and Chazal felt that it wasn't necessary to forbid people to erect partitions if there was no oil, no canopy that would then subsequently be added. So it's permitted, brought down Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah says, Vosif Aleph, that all mechitzas, apart from one which we'll discuss in a second, are permitted. The mechitza that Chazal forbade was a mechitza which is called a mechitza hamateret, which means if it has some practical application in halacha, it achieves something in halacha. So for example, if you have two sides of a sukkah are inadequate for the health of the sukkah, you need two and a bit wall, you need a third mechitza, and you construct that third mechitza on Shabbos or Yom Tov, then that is a mechitza amateret, and that enables you to use that sukkah. It has a halachic implication. That is what Chazal forbade. Similarly, Chazal forbade a mechitza which makes something into a shufa yochid, which divides one area from another area. There needs to be a fence between your private domain and the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim that fell down, and you erect that on Shabbos. Then that again is a mechitza hamateres, because it has a halachic implication. It now changes the status of this area to become Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and that is forbidden midrabbanan. That's called a mechitza hamateres. But is it just simply put up for tznius, as the Ramah says, and Mishnah Berurah brings it, for tznius, for example, if there's a drasha taking place and you want to put up a mechitza between the men and the women, so the Mishnah Berurah says that is called the mechitza litznius, and that is permitted, it has no halachic implications. It's not necessary halachically for there to be a mechitza at that moment, And therefore, to put it up is not called a mechitzah mataris, it is permitted. The application where the situation where this type of mechitzah could be forbidden, or is forbidden, or might be forbidden, is in the following case. What happens is, as I said, the Mishnah Berurah talks about mechitzah litznir, but between men and women for a drasha. What about for davening? Between a mechitzah between the men and the women for davening. There needs to be a division between the men and the women for davening. And if that fell down, or sometimes you daven in at home or whatever it is, and you want to put up something between the men and the women and to enable you to daven, is that called a mechitza materes, or is that called a mechitza litzniyot? Is there a halachic requirement to have such a mechitza? And there's a famous tshuva of Ramosha, one of the early tshuvas that Ramosha wrote in Arachayim Cherek Aleph Siman Lametes, where there Ramosha explains, and he brings very interesting riots from the case of the Tikkun Gadol that Chazal instituted in the Beit HaMikdash for the similar Beit HaShoeva. Ramosha goes through that Gemara at length and proves from there that the necessity for a partition between the men and the women for Dovah Shebekedusha, either at the similar Beit HaShoeva there or in the Beit HaMikdash or at the davening, is merely to ensure that there is no intermingling and that there is no, that there doesn't, the situation will not lead to a kalus roish in any sort of way. But as far as the hilchas mechitza is concerned, that isn't the requirement between for davening. So, for example, if you have a mechitza which doesn't go down to the ground, it is more than 3 tefachim from the ground. So, in hilchas mechitza, that is not adequate because it's called a mechitza materes. If it's hang from a higher point and it doesn't go all the way down to the ground, it's more than 3 tefachim away from the ground, it's not called a proper mechitza, and then Hilchos Mechitza is inadequate. But if it would serve as a good enough to prevent the intermingling between men and women, and it would not lead to any sort of kalos rosh, well, it would be okay. And similarly the other way around, if you have a mechitza which is simply 10 tefachim, which is the minimum shear of a mechitza, good enough for mechitza, but where it comes to davening, it doesn't achieve anything because there can still be intermingling in kalos rosh because it's just 10 tefachim is not adequate. So Ramosha proves from that Gemara that the necessity for mechitza is not in hilchos mechitza that you must have a partition to make these two areas into two separate parts, but it is there in order to prevent any intermingling and kalos rosh, and therefore that is not considered to be a mechitza, a materes, and therefore he allows it on Shabbos.
Which hilchos means?
It enables you to do something halachically that you were unable to do before. It creates a new halachic status. It's matir something. It can be practical, this halacha, because you're not allowed to be mishamish in front of the Sefer Torah or in front of Sforim, or you're not allowed to be Oseh Tzorachos in front of Sforim. And if people are, for example, you stay somewhere for Friday night and you use one of the rooms that are not normally used, this halacha is an important halacha that one is not, that would be a mechitza materes, because that would enable you to use the room for what you couldn't do before, and you need a mechilchas mechitza to separate. And it also sometimes happens if some people are at home and they are ill and they're in a room where there's forum and it has to be Oseh Tzorachos, then there's halacha of hilchos mechitza. This is a hilchos mechitza materes, which is important to be aware of. Okay, that's as far as mechitzas go. I now want to go to the oil. Okay, there are basically four halachas that one has to be aware of when it comes to creating an oil. First one is that it must cover an area which is of at least one tefach. An oil which in itself is less than a tefach does not constitute an oil. If the size of the canopy is less than a tefach, then that is not an oil. So for example, if you have a pole upon which you hang a sheet, and that sheet sort of hangs down like sort of a teepee style over the pole, since it does not, there is no tefach, there's not a single tefach breadth of that oil, then that does not constitute an oil. Similarly, if you have a washing line, for example, and you hang a sheet in the middle across over the washing line, so it hangs down, but the width at the top is less than a tefach, that does not constitute an oil. If in the as it goes down, it is one tefach within three tefachim, so it goes three tefachim down and one tefach, while the gradient is 1 to 3, then that is considered to be a tefach. So 1 in 3 is a tefach, and then that would also be that was already would be forbidden. A tefach square. And the third point, which is important, is that when it drops, and then at some point in the drop there's a break and it goes straight down, and there's a tefach on either side, then that would constitute an oil. So, for example, in the case where you have a sheet that goes over a washing line, and you fancy putting a deck chair or something underneath, in between the sheets, and you want to sleep there and protect yourself from the sun, then if it goes down as a diagonal like this, but this might be less than a tefach all the way down, but when it gets to the bottom, there's a break and it goes straight down on either side, and it's at least a tefach from the ground, then that is already enough for it to be considered a oil of a tefach, and that is forbidden. That's the first condition. It must cover an area of at least a tefach. Second condition is, it must cover a vertical height of a tefach. Till now we were talking about the horizontal, the width. Now we're talking about the height. The height must also be at least a tefach. So, for example, if you have a table and you spread a tablecloth across the table, it goes down all four sides. Mr. Buddha says that one of the reasons why that is permitted is because it doesn't cover a height of a tefach. There's between the tablecloth and the table, which is the area that you're now covering with the tablecloth. The reason why it's permitted is because, one of the reasons is because there isn't the height of a tefach between the oil itself and the bit you're covering. That's the second condition. Even if it hangs over the side, Mishnah Berurah specifically mentions that even if it hangs down over the side, that because more than a tefach, even if it goes through all the way to the ground, that because the main part of the tablecloth is less than it doesn't cover the height of the tefach, then all of it is permitted. We don't consider the sides of the tablecloth to be a mechitza. Shlomo Zalman says there's a note in the Shmir Shabbos where he discusses the sides, and that's what he says. Okay, so that's the second condition. And the third condition is, it must be made for the first time on Shabbos. If you have part of the oil that was already constructed before Shabbos or Yom Tov, and you now add to that is called Moses al oil arai, it's adding to what's already in existence, then Chazal did not prohibit that. Chazal felt that only if a person would construct an oil from scratch would they then likely to come to then perhaps the oil's opinion, but if it was already constructed in some form, then it is permitted. So it, for example, in the case of a tarpaulin that goes over a sukkah, so if we take the condition I mentioned before, that it must cover a vertical height of at least a tefach, so if you have a tarpaulin, a plastic sheet that you want to stretch over a sukkah because of the rain, and you put it directly onto the sukkah, so there isn't a gap of a tefach between the leaves of the tefach and the tarpaulin, so that's permitted. But what if there was a tefach gap between the tefach and the area that you're going to cover, so there's, let's say, a frame or something that prevents you putting the tarpaulin right down onto the tefach itself, and you now want to put a plastic sheet over the sukkah, and if there's a tefach between, then that would be prohibited because you're now covering an area of a tefach. However, if part of that tarpaulin was, let's say, rolled up on a roll before Shabbos or Yom Tov, and part of that, and it was stretched out at least a tefach, so it's considered that we already have the oil in place with a tefach before Shabbos or Yom Tov, is now permitted to pull out the roll, stretch the tarpaulin further over the tar, because that is called moisif ala oil. You're not constructing the oil from the scratch, you're adding to what is already in existence, and therefore that is permitted. Okay, another practical example which perhaps one might not think of is the children are playing in the house or in the garden, and they take a couple of chairs and a sheet or cushion, and they put it over the chairs or the cushion there, and they use the underneath as they use the space, they play there, then that is a proper oil. That is enough because it covers more, it's more than a height of a tefach. It is the oil itself is a tefach. If the underneath is being used, then that is a prohibited thing to do. Okay, those are the first three conditions. It must cover an area of a tefach, it must be a vertical height of a tefach, and it must be made for the first time on Shabbos. By the way, that halacha being moisif ala oil also applies to a machitza materet. So in a machitza materet, which we said is forbidden to create on Shabbos, but if you already had a tefach of that machitza in place, then it's permitted to stretch it further, because that's again being considered to be moisif on something that is already in existence, even though it doesn't have a hilk of machitza because it's only a tefach. But if it's in place, then that's good enough. That's the Ramon's stiff aleph submission tefach. Okay, the fourth condition is very important, and it starts to make things a little bit different. The fourth condition is like this. We mentioned there are two types of oil. One where the space is used, one where the space underneath is not used. So now, how many machitzas are required in order to prohibit the construction of the oil? And that depends on the purpose of the oil. If the oil is used for protection from the sun or the rain, that is a proper oil. It's constructed to either to protect from the sun or from the rain. That is forbidden to set up even if the area underneath is not enclosed by any machitzas, or even if the machitzas were constructed before Shabbos. So as we said before, if you take a sheet or something and you hang it over an area which wants you to protect from the sun, or you construct something that doesn't have any machitzas whatsoever, it's purely a canopy, so for example a gazebo, if you the oil of that, we'll come back to that later. That is a prohibited thing to do. A very, very practical example of this is a mosquito net that you put over buggies to protect the child sleeping in the buggy from the mosquitoes or the flies or cats or whatever it is. Here you have a proper oil. It is there to protect the child within the space underneath. Over the buggy, it's not considered that there are machitzas. The buggy doesn't have machitzas. Perhaps the sides of the buggy are more than 3 tefachim from the ground. There are no machitzas on. So it's purely an oil. But an oil without machitzas, that's where the underside is used to protect from the sun, from the rain, which this is exactly what it is, from the animals or mosquitoes, it's forbidden to construct on Shabbos or Yom Tov, and therefore it's forbidden to put a mosquito net on a buggy on Shabbos. We'll come later on to explain the cases where it'd be mutter, but that's the basic halacha, because that is considered using the underspace for the protection, and that is forbidden even if there are no machitzas. If the underside is not used for the sun or the rain, then it depends whether it is normal to use the underside for other things or not. So if the space is normally used, then Chazal prohibited that construction if there are already two walls in place, if there are two sides. So for example, the Shulchan Aruch talks about an interesting case where you wanted to construct a bed on Shabbos. So the bed had two sides, the top of the bed and the bottom of the bed, a board that went across in the middle, or some slats that joined the two sides, and then you put the mattress on top of that. So the discussion in the Gemara's book in Shulchan Aruch is that when you lay the mattress, you are now creating an oil for the space underneath. Now the space underneath is not used. It's not used as an oil. But the Shulchan Aruch explains, the Taz explains, that it is normal to use the underside of the bed, for example, to put shoes or things like that. So the space is used. But it's not used as an oil. You're not using it. You really want to use the top of the oil. You want to sleep on the bed. So here this is an example of this case where it's not used. The underneath is not used for protection from the sun or from the rain or anything like that. But the space is used for other things. Here the halacha is, if there are two sides, then that is already prohibitive to put the mattress in place. And we'll see in a second what how it can be done. But if you first put the sides and then put the mattress, then that is forbidden, that you can't do that. That is this halacha. Since the space is used, although not for protection, it's forbidden if there are two sides. If the slats are level, then you can add it. Then you can add it. But if you're creating it on Shabbos, then you can't do that. Because by making them level, you are also making the oil. Yeah. The halacha brings that case as well, also with level. Okay. If the space is not normally used at all, then it's prohibited if there are four sides. Now this is an interesting halacha. It can have some very interesting practical applications. We're saying that we're not using the oil for protection from the sun or the rain, and the space underneath is not normally used, if there are four sides that have been constructed for this purpose on Shabbos, then it's forbidden to put an oil on top. I'll give you an interesting example. Let's say you want to get something from very high up, and you haven't got a stool that is nearby, and you have a box which has got four sides. You want to bring the box. Let's say you get some tefillin, and you bring the box to the tefillin cupboard. You take a board and you put it on top of the box, and you now want to stand on the box. You've brought the mechitzas, they're four sides. I'm not interested in the space underneath, I'm only interested in using the top. But this is this halacha. You've brought the four sides, you're covering it, so we consider the space within the box to be covered by the board. That is forbidden. And we'll see the way that is permitted in a second. So, let's say you have an ordinary folding table. An ordinary folding table which has a top and four legs. Okay. We normally use the top of the table. Of course, it's a tefach. It's a height of a tefach. It constitutes the basic structure of an oil. But we're not using the space underneath. We're only using the space on top. What's our halacha? The halacha is, it's only forbidden if there are four complete sides around the table. If they're just the table legs, the legs are not proper mechitzas, they're each less than a tefach, we don't consider there to be four sides around the table, then it's permitted to do, because it's only forbidden if there are four complete sides. You may even put the tablecloth around it, because we don't consider the sides of the tablecloth to be mechitzas, because they're soft and they're not really proper mechitzas, they're hanging from the top. But even if they would go right down to the floor, the Shmir Shabbos brings in a note that we don't consider the sides of the tablecloth. Mr. Bruce says specifically it's permitted to put the tablecloth on a table. Okay, let's say you have a bench. You want to create a bench. Again, you have a piece of wood which you want to use that to sit on, and you have two boxes turned upside down, and you want to put the bench on top. Is that permitted or is that forbidden? What's the answer? The answer is, let's go through that. You have a tefach? Yes. Is it a tefach from the height? Yes. Am I using that underneath? No. What's the halacha? Only forbidden if I have four complete sides. Here I only have two sides. I have one side on this side of the bench, and here's the side on the other bench. Permitted. Okay, that's that halacha. The halacha brings a very interesting example of this. Let's say you have a pile of sephorim. You have a pile of sephorim here, and you have another pile of sephorim here, and you want to then put another sefer here on top. So you have now two sides and the sefer on top. The Ramah says that we don't consider that you're using the space underneath. That's not called using the space underneath. Two sides, permitted. Okay. Those are the four halachas that we need to be aware of in the construction of an oil. Now, it's permitted in the following example. There's four permitted ways of making a temporary oil. Even if we have these four Isurim, as it were, for the Tefach, both the Tefach across, down, created for the first time, and whether it has Mechitza or not, they're still permitted if one of the following four ways are utilized. First one is very, very important, is if the roof is in place before the support. So if we go back to the case of the bed, if the mattress was in place before you put the sides, then that's permitted. How does that work? Two people hold the mattress, you then bring the sides, that's permitted. So if we go back to the case of the buggy, where I said that it was prohibited to put a mosquito net over a buggy, one way of where it would be allowed is if two people would first hold the net in place. That isn't considered to be an oil, we'll discuss that in a second. Somebody else brings the buggy underneath, then you can put it down. That's a Mefreshit Gemara, Shabbos Mem Gimel Amud Beis, where that method is utilized in order to cover a mace, and the Gemara says why it would be forbidden to construct the whole oil in the normal way, and the Gemara goes through this procedure of how they were able to construct an oil over a mace in a permitted way by first bringing the top and then then dropping it down onto mechitzas.
So
even four sides. Okay, so in the case of the box that we talked about, where you want to stand on the box in order to get Sepharim, you can implement the same method. You first bring the top, then bring the base. That is permitted. Okay, the next method, which you already mentioned briefly, was if you're adding to an existing oil. If you add to an existing oil, that is permitted. So if we go back to the case of the sukkah, you have part of the chak, which is already covered, you can now pull out the rest of the tarpaulin. Same would apply if you have, let's say, a slat of wood, which is at least a tefach, which is covering one side of the sukkah, and you now bring a tarpaulin, which is now rolled up on the ground. But you cover the tefach, which is of a covering which is already there, that is permitted. Okay, let's go back to our mosquito net over the buggy. Some buggies have hoods which are naturally part of the buggy. They can be taken on or taken off, fitted to the buggy. Let's take the case for the moment where that hood was already open before Shabbos, at least the tefach. So you have the rain hood that was elevated, so at least the tefach. So you have a tefach that is already covered, and you now want to bring the mosquito net to cover the rest of the buggy. That is the case of being moisif ala oil. You already have part of it in place. You can now add further, even some of the material that wasn't there at all. You can now bring that and add that onto the buggy. So that same would apply to a, if you want to add a leaf to a table. I know we've talked about other reasons why a table would be permitted. But let's say you have a table which has got four complete sides, proper mechitzas. You now want to add a leaf into the middle of the table. Again, this would be permitted because it's called moisif ala oil. Most tables don't have four sides, but if it would, then this would be another example. Okay, the third permitted case is where the roof is supported by a person. We mentioned this already. When you hold the oil, you hold it, and then bring in the mechitzas. Why isn't holding the oil itself called making an oil? And the answer is that an oil, bidei adam, if the oil is supported by the human being, that can't stand on its own, then that is not considered to be an oil. So let's take a practical example of this. On the Simchas Torah, it is the minag in many places for the Chosen Bereshis, Chosen Torah, where they take a talus and hold it over the Chosen Torah, Chosen Bereshis. Here you are constructing an oil, but it's being held by people. Could be the other reasons why it's permitted. It's not for sale, it's not for the rain, it's not for shade, it's only for cover. True. But this is also a reason to permit it, because it is being held up by human beings. If it's being held up by people, it cannot stand in its own right. It is not considered to be and oil, and therefore it would be permitted. The Shulchan Aruch talks about an interesting case of a sun hat, which was specifically designed to be as a protection from the sun. Most of our hats today that we have are there as a malbush and not specifically designed for protection from the sun. And even if it had a very, very wide brim of a tefach, then the practical halacha today, we don't consider that to be an oil. But if you have a specific hat that was designed specifically for the sun and you are using it in order to protect yourself from the sun, and it has a tefach, a wide, that's brought down Shulchan Aruch, that is considered to be an oil. And is not called oil b'dei Adam, because it is not being supported by your hands. It is like you being on a pillar, so like the person is being supported by the person, but not held up by his hands. Can stand up there on his head like as if it was on a amud, like on a pillar. And the Shulchan Aruch says that is prohibited. It's machlokes in the Gemara whether that is the maskana, but it's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ahetayrim. But it's interesting to know that part. Okay. Finally, and this is a very important point, if it was a prefabricated, folded or collapsible, and it's fixed and it's attached to the item already, a prefabricated type of oil. I give an example of this, that would be the hood on the buggy. The hood that is part of the buggy, it's fixed, attached to the buggy already before Shabbos, it opens and closes as part of the use of the buggy. It's fixed to the buggy. Here we say, and it arises here from Shulchan Aruch, and from the Gemara talks about the case of a kisei trasko. A kisei trasko was a chair, perhaps something like a sedan chair, where you opened out the chair and it had a leather sort of seat. There were machitzas on the side, and the Shulchan Aruch discusses, the Gemara discusses whether that is permitted. And the Gemara says it's permitted because it was a prefabricated, it's all there built in, and it's not considered to be creating an oil on Shabbat. It's already made. Chazanish says, you bring rise from the Mogen Avraham and from the other Poskim, that this applies not only to the case of an oil where the underside is not used for sale, but it applies even to a case where the underside is used for sale. So if we, for example, the hood on a baggy, where the hood on a baggy is used for sale, it's a proper oil, it's a prefabricated thing, it's part and parcel of the baggy, according to the Chazon Ish, then this is permitted. This is exactly the case of Kisei Trasko, just as there was permitted, because although there are four machitzas and you're creating the top, but that's permitted because it's all one structure. Similarly, the case of the buggy, which is also one structure, a collapsible thing, is permitted. Another raya for this case is the Ramah in Hilchos Sukkah, where the Ramah talks about a oil which is on hinges. An oil on hinges, we all do that. We all have our sukkahs on hinges, and you pull the string, you open up the roof, well, you're creating an oil. Every time you open and close it, you're creating an oil and dismantling an oil. Forbidden to break an oil as well. But why is it permitted? The Ramah says because it's all part and parcel of the sukkah. That's how it works. It's like a door of the house. You can open and close it. It's not considered to be making an oil because it's all a prefabricated thing. And therefore, that is why that is permitted. Because of that, it would be permitted to open an umbrella or parasol. Same reason, because it's all part and parcel of one thing. Now there's a tshuva of the Noda B'Yehuda. The Noda B'Yehuda forbade it, but the Chatham Sofer disagreed. A big discussion whether an umbrella comes under this category. It is all made part and parcel of one thing. It's not considered when you open the umbrella that you're making a new oil. It's already an oil, and therefore it should be permitted. However, the Chazon Ish said that although perhaps in strict halachic terms we would not consider an umbrella to be an oil, however, we still treat it as so. It would be goyim to terrific pirutz and klal if we allowed it. And the Chazon Ish forbade opening umbrellas on Shabbos and even using umbrellas which were already open before Shabbos, which would mean even in a place where you can carry on Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry an umbrella. This has a practical nasty mina in the case of, and I've gone over a bit, if you have this is a very practical halacha, and that is that if you had the umbrella, let's say a parasol, which you have in your garden, which is used to open from the, protect from the sun or from the rain, and you want to sit down Shabbos. So if it was attached to the ground, and the before Shabbos, it's fixed into the place, so you have the table, it has a hole in the middle, and you fix the parasol, it's now a part and parcel of one structure. It is permitted to open according to the Chasam Sofer and the Chasam Ish. Unlikely that the gezeira of the Chasam Ish would apply in this case, because it is fitted to the ground, it's not something that is carried around. The problem would be if the parasol had been open, or perhaps not open before Shabbos, whether the gezeira of the Chasam Ish would apply here or not. I'm not sure. I think there are some poskim that allow it, others don't. But and many people are careful not to open that type of thing. So those are the, I'll stop here. These are the four things that would allow us to open a oil on Shabbos. Number one, if the roof is there before the supports. Number two, if you add into an existing oil. Number three, if the roof is supported by a human being, by people. And the fourth one is if it's a prefabricated folded thing. And those are the four halachos that would allow us to open an oil on Shabbos. Sorry, I'll get that.